Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Bring in our man Bill Shanks from thesuperstations.com. Bill, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Something is missing from your Twitter bio. Is that a... So I'm holding off on what I should be saying here. Superstations.com.
BrandBrightCentral.com.
Okay, we're still saying that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was worried there for a second.
No, it's still there. No, I mean, it's we're still with BrightCentral.com, still writing and doing videos and providing as much Braves superficial coverage as we can right now.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, glad to hear that. Well,
Bill, are you covering the Korean baseball organization on that website?
Negative.
Have you watched any of it?
Well, you know, at my age, I have to get up in the middle of the night to go 10-100, so I have been able to take a peek at it. But as far as sitting down and you know, having a cold beverage and watching Koreans in an empty stadium, the Koreans and American players who can't hit more than 220, no, I'm not able to schedule for that.
I'm all good with it. We've been watching it the last couple of days, and I am all good with it.
It's better. Oh, yeah. It's better quality than I was expecting, both in terms of production and baseball players. They're really not bad. But Bill, if you get a chance to see the Latte Giants, I think they're called
Latte
Giants. Julio Franco is their hitting coach.
Oh my gosh! I'm gonna tell you something. That's a hitting fool right there. Mm-hmm. What I did see though, they were very clever about the camera angles. They were trying to have close-up shots to not have the empty stands be that much of a factor.
Yeah.
As far as your viewing experience on television, which we're going to see. I think Major League Baseball watch this to kind of get some ideas of how it goes, and they should. And I didn't really think the empty stands was that big of a deal. It's going to be different. It's going to be weird. There's no doubt about that. If baseball does come back, that's what we're going to have. But this is a test pattern. It's a test run to see. I wish they would replay it, you know, during the day, because I would watch it. I would have it on. I don't know if I want to say I would watch it, but I would have it on and see what it is. But, boy, they swing at everything over there.
That's flip that bat, man.
Yeah, and that if they swing at everything, that's probably a reason why Julio Franco is their hitting coach.
Hey, it moves the games along, I'll tell you that.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
But no, it's certainly good to see something that you don't know the outcome to, and in this case, you don't really care one way or the other. But guy that was pitching today was it Samsung?
Or yeah, the Samsung Lions.
Yeah, he was an American from Atlanta.
Yeah, Georgia State.
And
really?
He got lit up.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
Oh, wow.
What was his last name? Buchanan?
David Buchanan.
Didn't remember the guy. Anyway,
hey, Bill, I've actually teased this the last couple of days. I shot you a text. I think it was Monday. We are going to play tomorrow on 960 The Ref, the 91 Georgia-Clemson game, a great game that Larry Munson's going to have the call, but it was also a very special day, as a lot of people remember. And I sent you a picture of I watched the TV broadcast where it said, update, Braves clinch NL West. And you kind of texted me back a fun little account what you were doing that day, if you don't mind sharing that.
Well, I was in college at Georgia, and my roommate and I, I had the ability to get credentials because of good old WUOG.
Mm-hmm.
He could have gone because, you know, they just gave tickets and gave credentials left and right back in the day. And I said, do you want to go or do you want to go to the Georgia game? And we can get probably back to the Georgia game at, second quarter, halftime or whatever. And he said, no, I'm just going to go. I want to watch Georgia and Clemson, so I'm going to go. And I'm like, well, I mean, I want to see Georgia and Clemson. I can't wait. But I it's not every day you get a chance to go see the Braves clinch the division.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to Atlanta to watch this because they hadn't obviously clinched the division in 9 years since 1982. So there was no debate for me. I was going to go to Atlanta, and so I went. And you know, I tell you, that was a tremendous memory. That was probably the first. Well, I mean, I was at the fight game in 1984, so I probably shouldn't say that. But I mean, that was one of the best games I've ever been to. Obviously, when the Braves clinched the division that day, because it was such a remarkable season and just phenomenal.
I'm trying to remember. The Braves beat the Astros 5-2. The Dodgers lost to the Giants.
Yep.
Did it take both of those, or did the Braves just have to win that day to clinch?
I think the Dodgers had to lose.
Okay.
So they waited down the field for a few minutes to watch
the
Dodgers game.
And you're right.
So they were on the field and so forth, and it was tremendous. I mean, again, you know, you never could have thought they were going to win 14 division titles in a row. And when they were doing it once a decade, when they had done it, you know, in the first 26 years of their existence in Atlanta, that was their third time. You didn't think it was going to happen again next year. There was not a whole lot of thought to that. It was just trying to enjoy the moment. So, no, I was at the game, went to the clubhouse, got interviews and stuff, and then hightailed it back to Athens and got there for about second quarter or so, I believe.
Nice.
And you know, I was in the student section and with the tomahawk chop, and it was a remarkable night game. And it was, you know what, that's one of the things, one of those days where you get home and you sit down after a long day and you're like, you know what, that was a really good day. And it was.
And back then you had to beat the Reds,
mm-hmm.
the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres, the Astros, and is that it? Am I leaving? Yeah. It was a totally different scene back then before the NL East became where the Braves were.
One of the best images, I think, in Braves history, honestly, is Greg Olson jumping into John Smoltz's arms after that win. Do you have or have you had anything with that image on it?
I don't know if I do or not. I'm not sure. I probably have a poster somewhere because I've got a lot of posters from that era. They used to have posters mm-hmm. out all the time. So, but no, and you know, he did it in Pittsburgh as well when they won the pennant right after that. And same thing kind of happened where Smoltz turned around and looked for him, and he ran right into his arms. I'll tell you, and Bobby Cox has said this very, very frequently, you know, when he would be talking about the 90s. The 91 season is always going to be special in Braves history because of the worst to first and just the unbelievable games, the start of the tomahawk chop and it was the year the Braves changed and they were no longer the laughing stock of baseball. But that night was so great because you had a doubleheader and you had two games with the Braves and the Bulldogs. And you know, look, the Georgia-Clemson game, still back then, I mean, I have friends, like, from Waycross who still consider Clemson one of our biggest rivals. And you know, I know people who live up there in your listening area still probably consider that to a certain extent because of the proximity of Athens and Clemson. But there was just some unbelievable games in the 80s
that was the thing. I mean, Georgia and Clemson played all the time. It's kind of fallen off a little bit because the schools haven't played as much, and that's going to be ramping back up here this decade. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that was a thing back then. Georgia and Clemson played a lot, and that's what made it such a big rivalry like that.
I remember Dave when Alabama came to Athens. And Danny Ford was already gone from Clemson. And Gene Stallings was the coach in Alabama. This is before they won the national championship with him as the coach.
1990.
There were rumors about Danny Ford taking over as the head coach at Alabama. And for whatever reason, Danny Ford was on the sidelines of Alabama when they played in Athens that day. And I don't remember what year that was.
90.
Was it 90?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and you know, being in the student section again, when we saw Danny Ford down there on you know, I mean, he was acting like he was the coach. He was down on that, like, one knee, and he had grass in his mouth and doing the same thing he used to do at Clemson. We just gave him hell from the student section. We just were just giving it to him, and because we hated Clemson. You know, we hated Clemson so bad, and it was just – well, I think we ought to play every year. I think Georgia and Clemson should play every year. I mean, I'm glad that Greg McGarrity has obviously ramped up the meetings and so forth, but I really wish they would play every single year because it's two great programs, especially now, and just I just think it'd be great to begin the daggum season with them every year.
What's crazy to look back on, I know we played a lot back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, all pretty much every year, but since that 91 game we're going to replay tomorrow, Clemson has only beaten Georgia one time. And there's only been like seven meetings, but only one time have we had to suffer a loss at the hands of Clemson, and that was in 2013.
Deshaun, is that what Deshaun was?
That was actually, we opened the season at Clemson in 2013. The 2014, okay.
Malcolm
Deshaun
Mitchell
was
tore his ACL doing a chest bump.
Just a really good game that Georgia fell short in 2013. Yeah. But no, it's crazy to look back how long it feels like from 91 and. But the thing is, you can't tweet that out because Clemson fans will just inundate you with what they've done lately, and you can't make a point like that. But that's a fact.
Yeah, but who cares? They
exactly.
got a dial-up connection on the internet, so it takes a while for them to do the Twitter.
Bill has a good point. Take him a minute.
Yes. Bill Shanks joining us as we reminisce about 1991 and that October 5th day that the Dogs beat Clemson.
Bill, if you don't, I'll tell you, I stumbled on something. Dave and I have little background, little knowledge about this, but maybe you remember it, maybe you don't. As I was watching the game on Monday, there was a live break-in. Tim Brando comes in and gives a highlight of the Penn State-Temple football game. And he says, well, we got a late one because of a baseball game. I went and did some research, and the Phillies and the Mets played a game in Veterans Stadium that Saturday afternoon, which was immediately followed by a Penn State-Temple football game in the exact same facility. Were you aware of this have any knowledge at all that happened?
No, that's in the same day?
It's basically keep your seats. Coming up next, we have a football game between Penn State and Temple.
That's bizarre.
It'd be like going to Truist Park and watching the Braves followed by Georgia and Kennesaw State to play a football game.
No, that's weird. And it makes me wonder if there was there ever a time, and I'm sure the answer is no, was there ever a time where the Braves played an afternoon game at Fulton County Stadium and then there was a night Falcons game? But the night games, Sunday night, didn't start until when? Probably right when the Georgia Dome opened, maybe, so that probably didn't happen.
No, but, probably not.
You know, I always thought the transition with those multi-sport stadiums when they would have to go from baseball to football or vice versa was always so interesting. But, no, I've never heard of that. I didn't know they had one thing in one day.
I'll tell you what, as I was looking into it and I did a little trying to find anything I could, I stumbled upon another thing that you may be more familiar with. That night after that game, October 5th, some Mets players went out, partied pretty hard, and David Cone actually for a brief time was accused of raping somebody. And then the next day he went out and got the ball to throw, but he was watching in the stands, according to him, waiting to be arrested at any given moment. But he went out and threw 19 strikeouts, tying the National League record at the time.
Wow. You are a trivia magnet.
I'm telling you, I stumbled upon this.
Logan's bringing some 91 trivia back.
It was
that wasn't the only time David Cone had found himself in a precarious situation.
No, yeah. David Cone had some very weird situations happen to him.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Particularly if I remember in the bullpen.
In a bullpen,
one time,
Yeah,
let's don't bring that up, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, weird night. I'd stumbled upon a very bizarre string of happenstance for baseball back then. But.
Well, and how many night games had there been in Athens by the time that Georgia Clemson game?
Oh gosh, what do you mean? Like overall?
Yeah, had there been a lot of night games by then? Or
well, I know the 85 season opener against Bama was. And that was actually on Labor Day night. in Athens.
I mean, did we have one a year back then, David? Or I really don't know. I don't know if we did or not. I mean,
yeah, I know the Tennessee. I believe the Tennessee game in '88 was a night. I think that was a night game.
And this is back when the kickoff time was printed on the ticket, wasn't it?
Yeah, I may have been.
It wasn't a week-to-week deal.
I mean, there had been some night games there before that one.
I mean, but was it once a year? It was a big deal, it seemed like.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. That does sound right.
I mean, but you think about the enormity of playing Clemson and a night game and then the environment of the Braves winning and then the Tomahawk chop. And it was electric. It was just an electric feeling at Sanford Stadium, and we didn't have a bunch of crazy lights that made it even more fun. it was just a normal atmosphere, and it was great. I mean, I just have great memories about the game, and just like I said, it was just a great day. But anytime Georgia played Clemson, it was just like, God, this is just a really, really big deal, you know.
And I think we used to have that rule too. It was kind of a self-rule that Georgia wouldn't have any night kickoffs after, basically in November. So those were games that were going to be played. Now, there were a couple of times where there was like a weird, like a 5:50 kickoff or a something 5:30 kickoff,
yeah,
because that meant it was a day game, even though the majority of the game would have been played after 6. But, there were some, but there weren't that many back then like there are now. It was just different.
Yeah.
Bill, I'm with you that Georgia-Clemson should play a lot more. I'm not sure I'm on the every single year wagon, but I wouldn't be opposed to it either. If it happened, though, obviously we're not dropping Tech. Are you okay with 8 conference games, Clemson, Tech, and then 2 non-conference? Is that what you would design it?
Yeah, I don't like cash for clunker games. I think they suck.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like them at all. And I know it makes our schedule tough. If we're good, we ought to be able to take it no matter what. So I don't have any problem with it at all. I go to all the cash for clunker games, but I think they're awful. They're not fun. If I was a paying season ticket holder, I'd be pissed to have to pay for that game. And so I think the better the schedule, the better the team. And so, yeah, I think it'd be great to play them every year. I just don't like cash for clunker games. I don't care about contributing to the athletic budgets of smaller schools. That's their problem, in my opinion. I want to play good teams. I want the atmosphere that we had for Notre Dame last year every game. We know college football games are an event, but those cash for clunker games are not. They're like exhibition games, and they're just not as important. I mean, with those cash for clunker games, as long as I get there by kickoff or in time to, have lunch with David before the game starts, I'm good.
That's a favorite part of my week, by the way.
The highlight of my
absolutely,
day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Sit down with you and break bread there before the game.
Absolutely.
And then go to our famous row there. But I don't like the cash for clunker games. So I want big games. I want games that we can have good memories of. And you know what? Sometimes that means we're going to lose, unfortunately. But I love those games. Those are tremendous days. Again, what's a good day? You know what? Playing App State and playing Nicholls State, I don't give a damn about that. So when you have something to look forward to, it's like when we have the first game of the season be a big game. Like when we had back, a couple of years ago, those Clemson games where we played one in Clemson and one in Athens. When you have the whole year to look forward to that game, that's a joy. That's a thrill to me to have that to look forward to instead of, Georgia's opening up the season against whoever, Nicholls State or whatever. I don't like those years, and I'll take opening up the season against Virginia compared to one of the cash for clunker games. So I'm just in favor of a good schedule, tough schedule, and I don't want to give me. If you won't give me wins, then you need to have an exhibition season in August to play those stupid teams like that.
Preach
that
it,
can
Bill.
Give them money, because I see no value in them whatsoever.
Preaching to the choir.
For the most part.
Yeah, not everybody, but I'm part of the choir.
I think I stunned y'all with that.
No, I love it. I'm 1,000% on board with you. I know what Kirby Smart's rebuttal would be, and I've heard it before. he's a fan of football and what football offers so many people. And there are a lot of programs, as you alluded to, that can't function without, as you put it, the cash for clunker games. But as far as I'm concerned, selfishly and me, I don't like them. I'm 100% with you, but I don't think they're ever going to go away.
Well, I think college football should be split into several divisions. I think the Power Five conferences should play each other. I just don't think Georgia should play teams. I mean, if Georgia's going to play cash for clunker games, I think they ought to play teams in the state of Georgia. I don't think Georgia should be afraid of Georgia Southern just because Georgia Southern almost beat us a couple of years ago. But I don't like those games. I don't want to play Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern is not going to win a national championship. And I think those other conferences need to have their own level where they can have a national championship, just like Division II.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what are the 130 teams or whatever in college football? Well, you know, those schools don't have a chance to win a national championship legitimately. And so I just think there should be a split in college football to where those teams have a little bit more legit chance of being a champion. And, you know, it's just and I just don't like those cash for clunker games. And okay, I'm a fan of football too, but that's not good football when we see those kind of teams come to Athens and just give them a paycheck and let them get away. That's not. And it's not good for the – you know, people don't want to watch it. People don't want to watch it on television. They don't want to go as much. And, you know, it's so – anyway, I'm not going to apologize for preferring a bigger opponent come there and be able to have a better game and a better environment. And I mean, every game, Athens and then Sanford special, I'm not saying it's not, but it's just not the same. So in
Bill's world, we have a Power 5 national championship and a Group of 5 national championship.
Yeah, the Group of 5, I think the Group of 5 should have their own level. I do. I think that'd be good. You know, for them to have something to aim for and strive for, I think their brand of football would be good too. They'd be playing each other instead of having to play teams that they have no chance against. And how about the chance for the once in a while upset? Well, okay, that's a good storyline, but that's a team having a bad day. If my team's going to have a bad day, I'd rather have a bad day against Clemson and have it be a legitimate loss compared to, their schedule got thrown to the wolves because it was like a couple years ago when they almost lost to Nichols. I mean, okay, that was a horrible day, and it was one of the worst teams in college football that they played horribly against. But, I mean, that doesn't need to define your season for sure, but we remember it, unfortunately. But I just don't like the cash for clunker games just irritate me. Can you tell?
I've heard it. Yeah, I'm hearing you.
I like when you get started. We haven't had Surly Bill
Surly
Shanks
Bill.
In a while.
I know. Damn, y'all pissed me off.
Hey, we'll get Bill Surly again next week because after tonight, we'll be able to identify exactly when the Falcons' 9 losses will happen. The schedule's coming out tonight.
I don't think I've been pissed off about sports in 2 months. I kind of felt good all of a sudden.
It's like, what's going on here? Everybody's relaxed.
Yeah,
what's up with that?
Join me, and then all of a sudden, y'all got me going, fired up. Heck, I better do my show now. It may be good now. It may be crappy this afternoon.
Do it. Podcast.
All right, before I let you go, I'll bring this up because we got an email from one of our faithful listeners, Stevie T.
Hey, I heard Tommy John.
Did you? Okay, good.
Ricky, yes, Ricky.
Ricky,
okay. We've been talking about the Korean baseball organization and Asian baseball, and he said something about Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck, and I admitted that this wasn't on the air. I just emailed back and said, you know, believe it or not, I've actually never seen that movie. So have either of y'all seen that?
I was very young when I saw it. I don't remember much about it at all.
Yeah.
No.
I don't hear it brought up when people are talking about like classic sports movies or anything like that. So
no.
I don't know that I really have a desire to see it.
I don't either.
Now, if Magnum had been playing for the Tigers, we might have bought that.
Yeah.
But Magnum was
Exactly. So there. No, not a whole lot of traction on that movie from this group.
Yeah, so, sorry.
Unless I don't think it's The Godfather or anything like that. So.
No, in the Bernie Mac baseball movie, I did not like that one.
That was Mr. 3000, is that what that was called or something?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called?
I think that's what it was.
He had to come back so he could get another hit. They took a hit away from him, is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so.
Look, man, there's the Sandlot, then there's everything else. That's in the everything else category.
Bill, would you watch Mr. Gerald Perry if they made a movie about the season in which he hit 300 going batting 299 six.
Oh,
Mr.
Wow.
300. I bet that would be a great movie, wouldn't it?
Oh, I think it'd be a great movie.
Who would have been the manager? That who would have been his manager?
It would have been Russ Nixon.
Hey, Skip, I'm not going to play today because I'm hitting 299.6, and that's going to round up to 300.
Oh,
can you imagine what he was probably thinking?
Can we send a treatment to Hollywood for that movie, David? I think we need to.
Mr. 300.
We could be the EPs on that. I'm talking Hollywood to you all of a sudden like I'm in the mix there. I mean, if that's not an Academy Award winner, I don't know what it is.
Oh,
I mean, the speech
ought
to take, you know, about 15 minutes. But, yeah, that would be classic. Hey, that's a good topic for my show this afternoon. Give me some dumb Hollywood sports movie topic.
Welcome to the pandemic.
I know. Yes.
Love
no
it.
Yeah, let's
kidding.
Not talk about classic sports movies. Let's talk about the
dumb.
Opposite end of that, including what was the one with was it Michael O'Keefe and Rebecca De Mornay?
Oh, yeah, the Slugger's Wife.
Slugger's Wife, yeah, Slugger's Wife, because that had that had Atlanta. That was Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, had cameos from Pete Van Wieren,
yes.
Chip Carey, John Sterling, and Ernie Johnson.
Indeed.
Pete Van Wieren told me right before he died, I interviewed him and about like 8-9 months before he died, and he said he was still getting a check for $1.25 every year for that, for his residuals.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah,
right, Bill.
Was, great.
Love it, man. Thank you so much. We enjoy these Thursdays like you wouldn't believe, and can't wait to talk to you. Hey, maybe next week we talk. Maybe there'll be some developments of some kind concerning baseball.
Well, I think what they're talking real quick. They are talking about from what I hear. They are the rumors last couple of days are true. I mean, they are internally talking about a window where from June 10th to June 15th they could get spring training, and then a window of July 1st to 4th where they could start if everything goes well, which is a big if. But they're at least talking about it, because I think they don't want to go too far past that. You know, I think they're afraid that if they go too far past that, the season's going to be in jeopardy. So we've got to hope that the next 2 to 3 weeks in the states that have Major League Baseball teams, including this one, things go well. I mean, we're hoping that anyway, of course. But for baseball's sake, we hope it as well. So let's see what happens the next couple of weeks.
Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, guys. Y'all stay well. Have
see
a great
you,
weekend.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
So,
with Chime Secure Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments. Get started at chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Results may vary. See chime.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.